We're approaching the time that the scripture calls one of the pilgrimage feasts, the Feast of Pentecost. And Pentecost commemorates, primarily for us anyway, the giving of the Holy Spirit to the New Testament church. And I want to talk on a subject related to that. But we have in the scriptures instructions to count to Pentecost, beginning with the Sabbath or the morrow after the Sabbath during unleavened bread. This today is the fourth Sabbath since the morrow after the Sabbath, the first Sunday that we started counting. We have the fifth, and then the sixth, and the Sunday after. No, this is the fifth. The sixth and the seventh is the day before Pentecost. That would count our seventh Sabbath. I got it written down here, too. This is the fifth. I don't know why I said fourth. I wasn't looking at my notes. Ah, well. You'll have this in these small towns, I guess. But the instructions to count from the morrow after the Sabbath during unleavened bread sometimes is confused when the Passover is on Saturday, Friday night, Saturday. For some reason, it seems to confuse the issue. The scriptures are pretty clear that it's the morrow after the Sabbath during unleavened bread, not the Sunday during unleavened bread. But scripturally, if you have a Sabbath, the Sunday of the first count does not have to be included in the 7 days of Passover unleavened bread. The Sabbath does. And that's very clear if you study it through in the scripture. So we are on the fifth. We have two more to go next week and the following week, the sixth and seventh. Tomorrow, or fifth, sixth, count seven Sabbaths. And that's, we have two more Sabbaths to go and then Pentecost. When I started this, I was looking at, and I don't know why, but it was just kind of floating around my head, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when I started going, I found out the Holy Spirit, the gifts that are listed in Galatians, are not gifts. They're actually the fruits of the Holy Spirit, singular. The title of my sermon is The Fruit of the Spirit. SPS is specific purpose to show the difference between a gift and a fruit. I've got several scriptures that I want to touch on showing the gift and how, if you would turn to John chapter 4 and verse 10. John chapter 4 and verse 10. I put my glasses on now, but won't get quite so confused. And Jesus answered when he was talking to the Samaritan woman for a little background, answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it was that says unto you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. And he was prophesying and speaking about the Holy Spirit to come. Jump forward to Acts chapter 2. Peter's speaking on the day of Pentecost. 2 and verse 28. Nope, that's not it. What did they do? 38. Okay. I can't even see my glasses on. 2:38. And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Later on in Acts 10 and verse 45, Acts 10 and verse 45, and they of the circumcision, which was the Jewish people at the time, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it says elsewhere there were seven people that were with Peter, and I don't remember now counting Peter or not counting, but there were more than just a couple. In Titus, 1 Titus chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4, they're close together, Romans. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. And back up to verse 13. He's saying, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. But neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. So, we know that the Holy Spirit comes from Jesus Christ, comes at baptism, it comes with the laying on of hands, and we're instructed not to neglect it. 2 Timothy, verse 1, and this will basically be the last scripture identifying and laying out the gift. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. Paul speaking, wherefore I put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. So this Holy Spirit is a gift. It's given by God, and it comes through a set process with baptism, laying on, repentance first, baptism, laying on of hands. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us produces fruit. And we're going to cover some of that. I want to read Galatians 5, which is the basis for this entire message. Galatians 5 and verses 19 through 23. Pretty familiar. We've read it and talked about it and had it expounded. And I'm not going to give you anything new today, but to review how the Holy Spirit works. Galatians 5 and verse, beginning in verse 19. Galatians 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, in other words, they're easily seen, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I told you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no law. Let's take a quick look at, and I didn't have this in my mind anywhere before. I think I might have heard it once, but it definitely wasn't what I had in forefront of my mind, but Paul has a lot of lists. I want to take a quick look at some of Paul's list concerning the works of the flesh. We just covered or read through the one in most prominent, probably in our memory, Galatians 5:19-21. But in Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read verses 3 through 5 and then 8 and 9. Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 5, one of Paul's lists. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once not be named among you as becomes the saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 8, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now you are in light. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. It's kind of a summary of the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. We're going to take a quick look at, reread Galatians 5, 5 verses 19 to 21. Galatians 5, 19. But now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. I'm going to be able to play with numbers a little bit because Joe isn't here, and Joe Greytock doesn't like numbers. He picks on me about when I do too many numbers. It tunes him out, he said. But in that list, which is 15 items of works of the flesh, plus the 16th one and such like. So there are more than 15 in that list. There weren't so many in the list in Ephesians 5, but let's take a quick look at the last of the list that I came across in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 6. Verses 9 and 10. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you, but you were all washed, and you were all sanctified, and you were all justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. It was interesting in those two particular lists that the top three in Galatians 5 and the top three in that we just read in 1 Corinthians 6 are the same. They're not in the same order, but they're the same three sins of the flesh. In Galatians 5, they have adultery, fornication, and idolatry. In 1 Corinthians 6, you have fornicators, idolaters, and adulterers. So the same three, but they just mixed them up and changed them around. If we go back to 1 Corinthians 6 and take a look at, I should have stayed there, 1 Corinthians 6 and look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. We read it, but I didn't point out what I wanted to point out in that particular scripture. Verse 11, but such were some of you, but you are washed, and you are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So that is the solution to the problems that we have in the flesh. The solution is to be washed, to be justified, to be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, and apply it in our lives. Unrighteous behavior tends to follow us. Started Adam and Eve when they cast doubt, Satan cast doubt in Eve's mind and subsequently Adam's about whether God was right or whether they could figure it out by themselves. And it's been that way ever since. And it will be manifest in the world until Jesus Christ comes back and straighten everything out. One thing in Galatians 5 and 19, it shows that the works of the flesh are plural. Works, S, plural. There are lots of them. Lots of them. But when it gets to verse 22 and verse 23, it said the fruit. The fruit is singular. There's only one fruit, but it has different manifestations. It's singular, but one commentator put it, it's connected like a chain. You know, you got a chain, and you pull one link on the chain, all the rest of them, wherever they are, whether you grab the chain in the middle or either end, all the rest of them follow along. So if we have God's Holy Spirit, and we have one of the listed fruit of the Holy Spirit, we've got some portion of all of them, because the chain is being connected. I had a little story about a chain. Mike and I were working for Mr. Lambert up in Hornell it was a big factory that made thread and all that kind of thing. Stern & Stern in Hornell. And they were tearing out the boilers. And Jim Todd and I went up and took a lot of the asbestos off. And we had to dismantle the boilers and the steam pipes and everything. We did. They ran one and we tore the other one down and then we went back and tore the second one down. But I think it was the first one we were taking down. We were working on some pipe. It might have been the second one because we were over the other side of the boiler room a little bit. But the furnaces were side by side. And I was up on top. Mike was working the floor. And I'd run a chain hoist and hook on the stuff. And we'd run it back up and down with a chain hoist. And He was down there, and he was right by a chain, and I needed some more chain. I said, hey, push that chain up to me. He grabbed the chain, and then I'll fold it down around his wrist. You can pull a chain, but you can't push it. But that's a standing joke between Mike and I, and this must have been 20 years since we worked at Stern & Stone, or maybe a little bit more. But push that chain up here. You know, either he'll say it and laugh, or I'll say it and laugh. You know, it was kind of interesting. It just popped in my head while I was working on this. Where am I going? I got dots and points. Okay. The list of fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 22 and 23. I'm going to give a dictionary definition of each of the gifts. Love is a deep, tender feeling of fondness and devotion. Joy is a very happy feeling, great pleasure and delight. Peace, they list in the dictionary as freedom from war or fighting. It's also law and order, like the riots in Baltimore were breaking law and order, so they had no peace. Long-suffering is bearing trouble, pain, and that type of thing patiently for a long time. Gentleness. Gentleness is mild, soft, easy, kindly, or patient. Goodness is a condition of being good. I wrote something, I can't even read it. Oh, yeah, I know what it was. The dictionary was kind of an interesting explanation or definition of surprise. It's an exclamation or a euphemism of when you're really surprised, you say, oh my, fill in the blanks. But I was surprised that that was listed in the dictionary as a definition or a usage of the word goodness. Faith. Faith is a belief or trust that does not ask question or ask for proof. If you have faith, you have faith in God, and you don't need proof, or you don't need an explanation. It talks about, in Hebrews, I think I wrote that down, but maybe not, faith is the substance of things not seen. Meekness. Meekness is patient, mild, not showing anger. I feel that one quite a lot. Being humble. Temperance. Temperance is care in keeping one's actions, appetites, and feelings under proper control or in moderation. In the People's New Testament commentary on Galatians 5:22, they had some interesting points, I thought. So I wrote some of them down. The named fruits of Galatians 5:22, or 22 and 23, are not our fruits, but they are fruit of the Spirit that is in us. If we bear these fruits, we show that we have the Spirit of God. If we have this fruit of the Spirit, it proves or it shows that we have the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit. They go ahead and list them in four particular groups. One, love. First group, love. They segregated out. The Christian grace, which works out the whole law. And Christ said, when they asked him about what was the greatest commandment in the law, he said, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And the second commandment, great commandment, is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. The second group that they list is joy and peace. And this is, as his commentary, the normal state of a Christian's life or a believer. We have joy. We have peace because we know, as God has shown us in the Scriptures, the end from the beginning. I know a lot of people are pretty nervous about what's going on. Some in the weather, some in the military activity that's going on, some in the fighting in the world, some of the ISIS attacks in the United States. So far, we've managed to thwart the most of them, but that probably is not going to continue. I would think it would be highly unusual, even with the level of surveillance that they have. I read something that the military watches Facebook and Twitter and some of those social accounts more closely than any other thing. But I've felt for years that they watch your email account. I know a guy in Tawanda that I worked for maybe 3 or 4 years ago. His son was in a military surveillance. And they hired him to go to, after he retired from the service, to go to England to work on something big and something special. And they flew him back and forth every 3 weeks or month. They'd fly him over to England, he'd work a couple, 3 weeks, and they'd fly him back for a week to be with his family. Then they'd fly him over again, and this went on for quite a while. And then they flew his family and his car and everything over to England so he could be there full-time to work on this, whatever it was. And I can't remember now, but it fit in with the surveillance, military surveillance that we were doing that Mr. Snowden leaked all over the world. Makes you wonder what they listen on. I had an experience one time when I was in the garage. I used to sell fireworks, and I don't know if that was the reason, but somebody had called my shop. I answered the phone, talked a little bit, and I was writing something down, I believe, and I still had the phone to my ear when they hung up. And after they hung up, about 3 or 4 seconds, I heard another click. I thought, huh, that's strange. So I started, after that, listening. No matter who called me, I'd stay on the phone. And there was always a second click after the party hung up for pretty close to a year. And I figured for sure that they were tapping my phone. I don't know why else. It never did it before, and it's never done it since. But that one period of time, I know, beyond a reasonable doubt in my mind, that my phone was tapped. And they were listening to every conversation that I had. Part three of this four groups that the People's New Testament commentary listed are the graces. He calls it the graces which relate to others: long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, fidelity or faith, and meekness. And these are the things that we use all the time in our interactions with one another. My wife watches Joyce Myers quite a lot, and Joyce Myers has a pretty good handle on, she calls it the joy of everyday living. Really good handle on interaction between people and how you handle it. The last four fruit looks to oneself. The last fruit, and that he had it in a group, the fourth of the groups, looks to oneself. Temperance or self-control. It implies not only abstinence from injurious drinks and food, but control of the temper, the tongue, the desires, the passion for money or power. I've had the opportunity to hire some people to help me with the wood cutting. Scott hadn't been around just recently. And they're not related, but they know each other. And, well, so-and-so needs some work. You got anything you can do or whatever? They needed some money a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, Friday, for pay their rent. So I advanced them a little bit, and they were going to work it off the next week as they worked. Tuesday, I think this week, Monday, the one fellow was going to come to work. So I stopped, and he wasn't ready. It was getting late. I'd been up to Athens. And it was getting a little late, and he said, "How about tomorrow?" I said, "Tomorrow work. When you want, when you, How early, early? He said, I'd like to do it early in the morning. I said, how early is early? He said, early. Call me. So I called him at about 7:05. No answer. No phone. There was some kind of recording talking about his phone wasn't functioning, whatever. I called him at 8:00. Same thing. I went over to the house at 9:00. And there were two of them that were kind of staying in the same apartment complex. And I'd advanced each of them some to pay for their thing. Pounded on the door at 9:00. Nobody was there. Pounded and pounded. Nobody showed up. Nobody came. So I went to work alone. Didn't have anything else to do. But I didn't find out till Thursday night that the guy that wanted to come to work early was in jail for a 3 or 4 year old warrant. The other guy took some of the rent money Friday night, went out. He had enough to pay his rent, but a little extra, and he got into tequila. His wife tried to get him to go home, go to bed, settle down. He got mad, left. He's been gone until Friday, Thursday or Friday. He and his wife got connected back together. It's just, I mean, it's that kind of a thing. And they tell stories on all their other friends. They're into drugs, they're into this, they're into that. And it just seems to be a way of life. They've all been in jail. The one guy was telling the other guy, they were both working the other day, and I said, yeah, he said, when I go in, I tell him I want cell number 7. He said, I don't like 10 because there's someone. But he has his own cell, and he said, I got to be in 7 when I go in. I mean, it's an insane lifestyle. Insane lifestyle. And you wonder how many times you got to go to jail before you decide, this isn't a really good place to be, you know. I wouldn't think. And you hear all the horror stories of been in business for themselves, had money, had equipment, this happened, that happened, they went down the wrong path, end up in jail, and then they come out and they can't get a job. And, you know, it's tough getting a job after you've been in jail. Nobody wants to hire you. They just, you know. The one guy's wife, she came to help me Thursday. I had to take a full cord of wood out to Lawrenceville. Wellsboro. I always get them out the Grand Canyon anyway, and south about 7 or 8 miles. But in the course of the conversation during the day, we're working. I'm cutting blocks. She's stacking them on the truck and doing a pretty good job, a really good job in fact. Got talking about her family, and her mother had been into drugs and left her dad, and her dad raised the kids and whatnot. And she's the only sibling of 5 that are left. The oldest one made it to 53. She didn't say why. But in the course of the conversation, there was a gap, and she stopped and thought a minute, and like she was going to tell me something, then she decided she wasn't going to tell me or whatever. But she said, I was a bad girl when I was young. I spent 17 years in prison. Didn't say why, and I don't even know why, but it's just, 17 years is a long time. I know Don Jones got, it looked like to me on the surface, pretty wrong deal, and he did like 20 years or awful close to it. But not everybody in the world can't get a wrong deal, it's not good. Not good out there. But a lot of that, is self-control. Not taking injurious drinks or food, drugs, that kind of thing. It just ends up getting you in trouble. William Burkett had a series of notes that I felt were one of the better groups on... William Burkett notes on the New Testament. And he talks about his explanation or note on love. God primarily. love refers to God primarily, and to your neighbor for God's sake. Joy is the delight in doing our duty and rejoicing in the expectation of the reward for well-doing. Peace is an inward peace, and the inward peace is toward God and conscience. If we're at peace with God, we've been forgiven, our conscience is clear, and we're at peace with God. And the outward peace is with one another, that we are at peace with our brethren. The scripture also teaches that we really should be at peace with our enemies, that we're to love our enemies, pray for them, do good for them, and that's tough. That's tough. Joyce Myers, and my wife listens to him quite often in the morning. I happened to be sitting at the computer the other day, and she was saying, you know, she gets up first thing in the morning and prays and thinks about how she can be a blessing to other people during the day. Think about it consciously. Well, how can I just look around for opportunities to be a blessing to other people? Another story from this week. I was a blessing to someone this week. I didn't really intend it to be, but I had cut quite a lot of wood, well over a cord, which is a couple hours of work, up at a woodlot just north of Tuonda along the river. And a guy gave it to me, said he wanted it cleaned up. So I didn't have a lot of, it wasn't money in it, it was just quite a lot of time. I went there to get it. I got a contract to give 10 cord or sell 10 cord of wood to a French asylum, place where Marie Antoinette was coming over to our area before she lost her head. But they have a market down there, and, you know, she got carried away anyway, somebody. But she never came there. But a lot of people came over, and they established a settlement about 3 or 4 miles down along the Susquehanna on the eastern bank, western bank, below my house. And they have a house down there, and they got old stone walls and little cabins, and they've maintained it ever since 1814, 15, when the French Revolution was, and they were coming over. But they're having a meeting down there, a camp out of primitive camping. And they come in and set up, and they got to use stuff of the 1700s. You can't wear jeans, you can't wear modern clothes, you got to have whatever. And they need firewood, and they've had somewhat of a session with their firewood. They 2 years ago, the guy that set them up with the firewood set them up with a guy with a triaxle log truck, and he brought in a triaxle load of logs. They got there, started their camping, and here's this pile of logs. And they spent several hours trying to convince the powers that be that you need to change the rules just a little bit, and we'll bring a chainsaw in or two, and we'll cut this up, and then we'll be able to have wood. Wouldn't let them do it. But I don't know what they did for wood other than, you know, if they had a cross-cutting saw or something, they could saw a little bit. Last year, they brought in a big bunch of great big blocks of wood, and they couldn't split them. So in the contract that I had to sign was that it was either to be split or splittable. So at least they could split it. I most of it's split, but I had to take 5 cord down, and I get paid for that and have 5 more in reserve in case they need 10 cord. But a guy was telling me that brought the contract over either last year or maybe 2 years ago. They have these every year someplace, usually in the Northeast. And once people are welcome to come in and visit and walk around and see how they lived back in the old days when they had the tripods and the kettle and the wood fire under it to cook on, all that stuff. The guy was in there, and he set up his tent, put all his stuff in it, jumped in his pickup truck, drove off the drove off the site. But it was getting very close to 8 o'clock, and at 8 o'clock, they shut everything down. You can't go back in. Well, he parked his truck and hiked for the gate, got to the gate about late like me, 2 minutes after 8. He couldn't get in. They wouldn't let him in. All his primitive clothing was in his tent out in the back part of the campground. He argued the point. I knew you can't go in. You can't go in wearing those clothes. He was already struck, mulled around for a while, and decided, well, the only way I'm going to be able to get in there, took all his clothes off, shoes off, threw him in the truck, walked in naked. They let him in, naked. It wasn't a big problem. But you know, he was a lot more desperate than I was to get in there, I'll tell you that. I probably couldn't have gone there. Anyway, where was I? I was reading down this list. Inward peace, long-suffering, an inclination of mind, dispossessing us to bear injuries patiently and to forgive them readily. Gentleness, affability and courtesy in a conversation, a sweetness of temper which renders us greatly useful as well as exceedingly delightful to mankind. I don't know, some of us. I think Betty back there probably would fit in that pretty good, but some of us don't do too well with that. Goodness, a disposition inclining us to communicate what we have and are to others and do all the possible good we can in our respective places and stations. Faith is fidelity towards men in our promises and in all our actions, speaking the exact truth. And that's sometimes kind of tough because you don't speak all of the truth. You don't tell every little exact part of it. You kind of slide along the edge of that. Not really lying, but leaving off in a fairly important or unimportant detail that might be pertinent. Meekness. And they had a great big long thing on meekness in Burkett's notes. But I'm going to shorten it a lot. I bring it down. The meekness he described as being threefold. A natural meekness that some have, maybe not everybody, but some have. A moral meekness and a spiritual meekness. Temperance. It's a sober use of meat, drink, and everything wherein our senses are gratified or delighted. Now I got to find out where I go from here. How's our time doing, Becky? We're getting pretty close. We're going to get out early today. I made a list of the fruit that's listed in Galatians 5. And probably for the sake of time, what I'm going to do is maybe touch on a couple of them. And if anybody wants the list, we'll touch on a couple, but I'm not going to go through the whole thing. We'd probably be here till 3 or 3:30. But I'd rather have too much material and chop off some of it than run out of stuff to talk about when I got an hour left or something. Oh, we're getting down there. Okay. Love. I got a computer program that John gave me some long time back. The word love in the scriptures 286 times. Joe would just hate this because he doesn't like numbers. Love is mentioned 158 times in the New Testament. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22 and verse 37 to 39. 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Showing Christ's instructions on, at least one place of Christ's instructions on love. Matthew 5, verses 43 and 44. You have heard that it's been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus Christ is saying, I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. If you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Even the publicans do the same. If you're a truck driver, you have a tendency to love truck drivers for the most part. I mean, people that your school teachers love, other school teachers, friends. You love your friends. And if you salute your brethren only, and if you live in an Irish community, you know, most of everybody there, you salute. They're your friends, whatever the community is. What do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? They do the same thing. And Christ goes on to say, be you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So in order to be perfect, we love our enemies and do good for them. There's a warning that I wanted to touch on in Matthew 24 and verse 12. And we probably know that pretty much by heart, but it kind of jumped out at me when I was going through the... And I didn't look at all the 286 mentions or where love is mentioned or used in the scripture. But Matthew 24, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, and he's talking about the latter days, the love of many shall wax cold. Important key to remember and think about and not let our love wax cold. Joy. Joy is mentioned 161 times in the entirety of the Bible, 60 times in the New Testament. I'm going to start peeling, so we're going to thin them right down here. But Matthew 28, verse 8. We can see the end is in sight. The end is in sight. Whatever time it is. Matthew 28 and verse 8. I know it's in here somewhere. Matthew 28, verse 8. And this is after Christ's death and resurrection. And an angel was talking to the women and told them, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And he goes before you. Verse 8, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with two strong emotions. With fear. Quite a shock to go to somebody's funeral looking at the casket. Nobody's there, in effect. You know, that isn't exactly what happened. But they went to where he was buried and he wasn't there. With fear and great joy. So they were scared, but they had great joy because he had told them before that he would be resurrected. Peace. beast had 431 uses in the scripture total and 104 in the New Testament. I'm giving these numbers not because they're important, but I like numbers. I wrote them down. But there's an interesting point coming up that has to do with numbers. Luke chapter 1 and verse 79. Luke chapter 1 and verse 79. Verse 79 of Luke chapter 1, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So there is a way, a definite way, that is a way of peace. There's another scripture too, and I don't remember, I didn't write it down, I don't think, but it just came to my mind. The scripture says, there is a way of peace that they know not. Man does not know, naturally, the way of peace. Acts chapter 10, verse 36. Acts 10, verse 36, and the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. So there's a preaching of peace. One of my favorite scriptures, Philippians 4 and verse 7. Philippians 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The peace of God passes all understanding. It's really tough to get a grip on that. It's like the scripture that talks about of the increase of His authority and power. I can't remember exactly how it is, but of the increase in His kingdom, there will be no end. How do you have anything? There is no end of the increase. It's going to go. I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, but he gave me two canna lily bulbs on Pentecost about 4 or 5 years ago. I've given some away. One of them died. I only got one. I dug it up that winter and put it, and then put the tubers out the next year. And I've already given away this year, I don't know how many, but I still have a plastic tub about that big, about that deep in the bottom, full of them. I've got a 5-gallon pail full of them. I've got two more smaller buckets that probably have that many in the bottom. I've got, I don't know how many planted down in my yard already, and people that still want them. I mean, they of the increase of these canna lilies, there's no end. I guess, sort of, it just, you plant them and you get 4 or 5 back for every one you put in the ground. I've never seen anything like that. They might just love where I plant them. I don't know about that either, but it kind of helps you understand of the increase. There's no end. Okay, peace. Cut off some of them. Long suffering. There are a total of 17 scriptures on long suffering. 4 of them are in the Old Testament, and they describe attributes of God, how He was long-suffering with Israel, and He put up with a lot. In the New Testament, there are 13. I'm going to read one. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Not necessarily because it was right where I was before, but it just came out that way. Colossians 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so do you also. Gentleness. Gentleness is an interesting word used in Scripture in only four places. Two in the Old Testament and two in the New Testament. The really interesting thing, you could write this down and look it up, in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 36 is one of the Old Testament scriptures. Psalms 18 and verse 35 is the other one in the Old Testament. And they are very, very close to, word for word, the same. One of them, and I think it's Psalms 18, has a phrase between. There's two long phrases that describe gentleness. But only two, and they're describing it in the exact same way, both in 2 Samuel and in Psalms. I'm going to read one in 2 Corinthians 10 of the two. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. And Paul, I think, is talking about himself there, that when he is there, he is base. But he beseeches them by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Goodness. There are 50 in total in the scriptures, all but 6 are in the Old Testament on goodness. Most of them on goodness in the Old Testament talks about God's attributes and his doings and how he treats Israel and other people. And this describes him. And if we are supposed to put on Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ and the Father are one, Jesus Christ is going to have that type of goodness. So we need to put that on, because that is what the Scripture says we should do. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Chapter 2 and verse 4. The only one I'm going to read out of goodness. Romans 2 and verse 4. This harkens back a little bit to I'm going to back up to verse 3, but harkens back to Mr. Kester's sermon 2 weeks ago on judgment. And think you this, O man, that judge them which do such things, and you do the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God. Verse 4, or despise you the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. So it's God's goodness that brings us to repentance in the first place. We wouldn't find it on our own. Faith. Faith is a pretty popular word in the scriptures. 384 total, 232 in the New Testament. We know in Hebrews that faith is the evidence of things not seen. A good example of faith, and I didn't write the scripture down, but we know it. We'll just touch on it as we go by. But Peter, when Christ came to him and they were in the boat and Christ was walking on the water, and Peter said something to Christ about, if it be you, bid me come to you. And he got out of the boat, started walking on the water. Pretty amazing thing. But the waves were a little rocky, Peter got looking around at the waves and the water and the wind and wasn't looking to Christ. He started to sink. He cried out, "Help me." Christ reached out his hand, picked him out of the water, said a pretty amazing thing. "Why do you doubt?" Doubt is a faith killer. A faith killer. We have got to study doubt and get it out of our lives when it comes to things of God. Meekness. There's 15 total and 3 in the Old Testament. I'm going to read 1 out of the Old Testament because we never quote out of the Old Testament on this book. If I can even find the book. I might have to go to the... I was going to look that up and mark it, but I'm going to have to go to the thing. Zephaniah, if you know where it is, I'm going to have to look. Because I didn't look this morning, I should have. I know it's got... Yeah, right there. A whole list of them. Okay. Before Haggai. It's a short book. Zephaniah's only got 3 chapters. Zephaniah 2 and verse 3. Zephaniah 2 and verse 3. And we are looking at meekness. Zephaniah 2 and verse 3. "Seek you the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be that you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." So meekness in the Old Testament and the New is something that we really need to seek. Last one, coming right down. Temperance. Temperance is also a very seldom used word in the Scriptures. So I use 3 times. And they're all in the New Testament. I didn't write them all down, but in 2 Peter, we don't necessarily... I'm going to give you the scripture. Acts 24, verse 25, and 2 Peter 1 and verse 6. And in 2 Peter, it's adding to... add your temperance to... Let's look at that real quick. I guess we got time enough. 2 Peter 1 and verse 6. Somebody said I had sermon that time too, so I guess. I don't see any tomatoes in the air. We're good shape. 2 Peter 1 and verse 6. 2 Peter 1 verse 6. "To knowledge add temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness." It starts back in verse 4 with great and precious promises and how we can add. Besides this, Peter said in verse 5, "Given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if all these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ." I had a whole lot more, but I'm being merciful to you. To a certain degree, I guess. Why should we study the fruit of the Spirit? Think about it. John chapter 15 and verse 5. John chapter 15 and verse 5. We read this recently at the Passover, and some of the messages since then have touched on this. But John chapter 15 and verse 5, Christ is saying, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, all by ourselves, we can do nothing. Christ said we need to abide in him, and him in us, as the branches are connected to the vine. We need to study, practice, and strive to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Because Christ said, without him, and we only can do it in and through him, and we need to have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. One of the comments that I wrote down as I was going through this, a comment on John 15:5, that when we get up in the morning or whenever we do our prayers, the best is early in the morning, I feel, but we request Christ's presence in us every day. We know that he has to dwell in us and we in him, with the vine and the branch symbolism. So if we get up in the morning when we pray, we ask him to be in us today. And if we do that and obey in faith, we will, through the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, produce growth. And that's what we're supposed to have. Supposed to develop the fruit. Singular of the Spirit. It's all hooked together with the chain. Matthew, concluding few scriptures, Christ is speaking. In verse 32, we're back up. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be given him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost in King James, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or make the tree corrupt. And his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit, by his fruit. Psalms chapter 1. In the Old Testament, Psalms chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate on it day and night. If you get started early in the morning with prayer, Bible study, it's a lot easier to keep the Word of God in your mind and meditate on it all day long. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Ties right in with the trees in Revelation that are going to be along the river that flows out from under the throne of God in the temple of God in the millennium. But it brings forth fruit in season when it's time. Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. 6 and verse 22 of Romans. And now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end is everlasting life. Everlasting life, eternal life, is a gift from God. But it comes as we develop the fruit of holiness. Romans 7 and verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Jesus Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised up from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So we're going to keep on bringing forth fruit, married to Jesus Christ. It's going to be a long-term, ongoing process. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all blessings, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Next to the last scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Showing the need and why we really should study the fruit of the Spirit, meditate on it, and strive to apply it in our lives. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, and it's much closer for us today than it was in Paul's time, for sure. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll read verses 2 through 6. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. We need to put on the mind of Christ, which leads us to have more of the divine nature. Verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly love, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things, the things that we have talked about today that are mentioned in Galatians 5 as fruit of the Holy Spirit, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.